we have a number of people who are struggling with physical issues, and we want to remember them before the Lord today. I know that Janice is back down in Hamilton visiting Paul on a regular basis, and while we're seeing some signs of progress, there's still a long way to go, and so I know that they would appreciate the prayers. And we want to continue to remember the Charltons who lost your sister-in-law this week, and to pray for that family. Laverne Cooper, his son has developed leukemia cancer, and so we want to lift up Laverne's family, in particular his son today. And I'm sure there are many other people that have loved ones that are struggling, and we just need to remember them before the Lord. Would you stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Hallelujah. As we have read this morning, Lord, your word declares that you are our healer. You are our peace and our healer. And so, Lord, we come to you today because that is your nature. We have already asked that your peace would be in our lives, that your peace would be in our country, that your peace would be in our church, and we thank you and praise you for all that you are doing. And now, Lord, we lift up those who are struggling with physical issues. And I ask, God, that your healing virtue, the same virtue of Jesus, the same powerful healing virtue of Jesus, demonstrated in so many ways as he walked the shores of Galilee, I pray that that healing virtue would be present in the lives of people who need a touch today. Think particularly of Paul, and we think of Laverne's son, Corey. We ask, Lord, that you would touch them. Think of the loss of a sister-in-law and the pain that it brings. And so, Lord, we pray for Larry and Judy and that family, and we pray that you would minister healing to them, that you would minister peace to them, that it would be their portion. Lord, there's many here today who come with a heavy heart for any number of reasons. And as they focus on you, as they allow your Holy Spirit to connect with their spirits, God, would you minister to their needs today? We ask this in your amazing name. And Lord, would you bless your word as we share it? May your anointing fall on it. And may we be touched by the power of your Holy Spirit today. And we leave here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, as I said earlier, this is the second week of Advent from our perspective, and it's the theme today is that of peace. And who doesn't want peace? We often think of as peace as the absence of war, and it's true that it is. And our world, as we look around these days and as we hear our news stories, we can surely use a lot of the absence of war. There's war going on in so many places, and it is a fulfillment of Jesus' own prophecy, but we are still encouraged to pray for peace and to pray for the absence of war. Perhaps that we come to a point sometimes when we think that praying for peace in a situation like Ukraine or like Israel is somewhat futile. And yet the Word of God distinctly says that God does get involved in bringing peace to the nations. In Psalm 46 verse 9, we read this: He causes wars to end throughout the earth. Isn't that amazing? God causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Using language there that is relative to the age and the time it was written, and the weapons of war at that time. But the main point here is that God does get involved in bringing peace to the nations. And then on another occasion, we are told as believers that we are specifically to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In Psalm 122, beginning at verse 6, we read this: pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, may there be peace within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my friends and family, I will say, May you have peace. You know, the Middle East is a bit of a powder keg, and we all know that. We know that it plays a big part in end times prophecy. And with all the things going on in the world today, I do think that there are many signs around us that tell us to be focused on looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. But that's not the focus of my message today. Don't think that praying for the peace of nations is futile. Pray for peace in Ukraine. Pray for peace in Haiti. Pray for peace in Israel. And pray for peace in Jerusalem and the many other nations that you see in our newscast today. Secondly, there's the kind of peace. There's so many different aspects of peace that it's such a huge subject to cover, and we're certainly not going to cover it all today. But another aspect of that is peace that is needed in relationships. For example, peace that is needed in families where members are simply not getting along or marriage is experiencing rough spots. This is a tragic scenario at any time of the year, but probably more hurtful and more difficult to deal with at this Christmas time of the year. And so there are many kinds of peace. It's a broad word, lots of aspects. And just one more example that I want to touch on a little bit later. Another kind of peace is that which is required to deal with a despairing soul. The kind of peace that is required to deal with despair in all of its various formats. Perhaps one example would be the loss of loved ones. Today's sermon, I'm going to start a little differently. I want to begin by telling you a Christmas story. It's got to be appropriate at this time of year, isn't it? A story that begins many years before the Christmas that is part of the story. And the story features a man named Henry, a man that loved his wife and son very dearly. Henry's wife's name was Frances. One day while she was working with hot wax, her clothes caught fire. Henry rushed to her aid, tried to smother the flames, but by the time the fire was out, Frances had been burned beyond recovery. She died the next day, and Henry, her husband, was burned so badly that he was too severely burned to even attend her funeral. And as you can imagine, that death marked a major turning point in Henry's life. One day life seemed to be going well, and then the next day everything seems to be ripped apart with tragedy. First the emotional pain of losing someone so dear, and then the physical pain of a long recovery from his own severe burns that disfigured his face. Mentally, Henry slipped into depression. He longed for peace to return, the kind of peace that would deal with his deep despair. And that particular Christmas, he wrote, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." A few words that indicated his despair. 18 years would pass. Despair and depression remained strong. Peace remained elusive, seemingly beyond his reach. And then after 18 years, Henry wrote again. Another sad note of despair. In the long, sleepless watches of the night, a gentle face, the face of one long dead, looks at me from the wall where round its head the night lamp casts a halo of pale light. Here in this room she died, and soul more white never through martyrdom of fire was led. To its repose, nor canon books be read, the legend of a life or Benedict. There is a mountain in the distant west, that sun-defying in its deepest ravines, displays a cross of snow upon its side. Such is the cross I wear upon my breast. These 18 years, through all the changing scenes and seasons, changeless lens since the day she died. For Henry, in spite of the passing of 18 years, despair reigned. Peace for his troubled soul seemed like an unreachable goal. His life took on another tragedy when his son signed up for military duty against his father's wishes. And the son took a bullet, leaving the boy with a crippled spinal injury and Henry attempting to nurse him back to life. And that Christmas, while still engulfed in despair, Henry would write yet another poem. It starts off reflecting the deep despair in Henry's soul, but quite remarkably ends with a glimmer of hope for the peace he had long been seeking. On that Christmas day, with the sounds of civil war raging all around, that Christmas day became a turning point in Henry's life as he wrote these words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought now, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice that chimed, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then, from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Excuse me, Henry's last stanza proclaims that there is indeed hope. There is healing for the deepest despair, and there's peace for the troubled soul even in the midst of war and conflict. Con, could you just bring me a little water, please, or a little bit of coffee? And we in this Christmas season of 2022, in spite of the despair that would drag us down, in spite of the enemy voice all around proclaiming that God is absent or not caring, proclaiming that he is asleep, but we can proclaim with authority that he is not dead. He is not asleep, but he is actively loving us, actively caring for us, and carrying out his plans for our lives. Thank you, sweetie. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem, published originally in a magazine, would be set to music in 1872, but often with the middle stanzas removed. It's now one of the many Christmas carols that are a part of our Christmas tradition. Henry's last stanza captured another one of the consistent themes in our scriptures. Last week, as we studied, we saw that there was a theme from the earliest days of creation, a theme of hope. And today, we put that theme of hope together with another consistent theme, the consistent theme of peace. And we combine them and call them our hope for peace. There are many types of hope to consider, but the most important hope for peace is to consider peace with God. From the earliest of time, going way back to the garden seed, there has been a war or conflict with our holy God and we sinful people. A spiritual wall, if you like. But regardless of how much sin has been in our lives, there has always been hope for peace. Always been a hope for restoration and hope for peace with our God. And this hope for peace with God, which is actually a promise, to those who would seek it, is available to everyone in the world because of Christmas, because Jesus did come, and he did take our commitment, or our punishment, rather, on the cross. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, we read this. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel. And there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. So this verse tells us that there's peace with God available through faith in Jesus. Believing that he died, believing that he paid the penalty for our sins, asking for forgiveness, and choosing to live for him makes peace with our holy God. Let me ask you candidly this morning, what about your relationship with God? If you were to die tonight, some people say, what happens if you wake up dead? It's a little bit of an oxymoron there, isn't there? But if you were to die tonight and stand to be judged before our holy God, are you confident? Are you sure that you are at peace with him? If not, why not take the offer of peace that is offered through Jesus? When we do, we can claim the promise of peace found in this verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And there Paul writes, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of Christ our Lord has done for us. Yes, peace with God is possible. The next type of peace for consideration today is peace among ourselves as believers. This type of peace is frequently encouraged throughout the scriptures. Once again, the author of peace among us is the Lord Jesus. It is his intention that we have peace among ourselves, and he gives us a challenging example to show us that peace is possible. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, he writes, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. The Christian community of Paul's day was a diverse one. Christianity emerged from within the Jews, as was God's intention. But there were also Samaritans which had historically been ostracized by the Jews. There were Greeks from the surrounding territories, and quite possibly a number of the usually hated Romans. It's interesting that a good part of ministry in the New Testament is to Samaritans and to others who are outside of the Jewish community. Can you imagine for a moment trying to start one of those early churches? Church planning is never easy. Can you imagine trying to be the church planner who's pulling together a few Jews from this part of the community, some Samaritans from across the country, some of those soldiers who everybody hates, pulling them all together and starting a church where every member loves one another dearly? That's quite an assignment, isn't it? But the point is that if God could bring peace to such a diverse church setting in the New Testament, he's certainly capable of bringing peace to churches today. Those people were not without their struggles, and we will struggle with peace in our group from time to time, but peace is possible with what Jesus has done for us and with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I would submit to you that peace is not some sort of luxury or nice-to-have aspect, but rather that it is a mandatory and critical component in order to be an effective body of Christ. And I pray that peace in our group will continue to prosper and thrive in 2023. That would be one of my major prayers for 2023. Mm-hmm. I hope that it's one of yours. I've been through a lot of church settings in my day, several denominations as we traveled, and you know what, folks, you've got a really good thing going here. You've got a really good thing going. And my prayer is that we will be conscious that we have such a good thing going that the enemy is very aware of it, and very apt to attack us in any number of ways. So keep our guards up in 2023. Resolve to love one another dearly. Resolve to have peace, the peace that Jesus promised us. John, 2 John chapter 1, verse 3, we read, grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. Let's stick to truth and let's love one another. In Romans chapter 24, verse 17, we read, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And now I want to shift for a moment or two to another kind of peace that is needed. The kind of peace that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow needed. John chapter 14 is an amazing chapter of gifts and promises. The setting is in the upper room where Jesus has just announced that his time on earth is running out. I'm sure that was a very solemn and sad moment. He has identified to his followers that within a few hours he will be taken, he will be tortured and crucified. Naturally, his disciples are deeply troubled. Who wouldn't be? But in response to their despair, he speaks peace to troubled hearts, which can only come from and only be delivered by God. First, he tells them that he is going to prepare a place for them, and when the time comes, he will return to take them to their new home. Perhaps some of them are already afraid. Perhaps they're already thinking about the possibility that they might be arrested, that they might be tried, and they might be crucified along with Jesus. Understandable that they would be troubled for sure, but this promise of the Lord's would bring hope and peace to their troubled souls because he is telling them, dear friends, dear disciples, dear followers, no matter what might happen to us here on earth, there is a new home waiting where eternal peace prevails. Then in verse 16, Jesus, sensing their troubled hearts and despair, gives them another promise. It's amazing as you read through the scriptures and as you study the words of Jesus and his reaction to so many different situations. It's amazing how miraculously he can sense the hearts of the people he's communing with. Have you noticed that? And in this desperate moment, he is sensing the despair among his followers. The promise of the Holy Spirit that would remain with them as their advocate and guide. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the one who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. The Greek word translated as advocate here is an interesting and comprehensive one. Comprehensive, I believe, deliberately because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is amazingly comprehensive. I think it's much more comprehensive than we fully understand. One of the Greek meanings is that of comforter. Here's this word again. Jesus senses their troubled hearts. He senses their despair. And in response, he sends the Holy Spirit, the comforter. And notice how that word comforter, which is one of the words that describes the Holy Spirit, links so positively, so appropriately to the word despair. Despair, comfort. Despair, comfort. Comfort is the opposite of despair. And I want you to just think for a moment about the last phrase of that text. Jesus says, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Have you had any first-hand experience with orphans? Some of you have been on mission trips. It's an amazing experience to meet orphans. We have several in our Taitu ministry in Haiti. Over 30 kids at our orphanage when it's not overrun by the gangs. And they're doing all right. Some of these lost children have lost parents due to diseases such as AIDS. Others have one or more parents living somewhere but have abandoned the child for one reason or another, typically that of poverty. Can you imagine for a moment that kind of loss? Can you imagine the kind of despair in the hearts of orphans who have lost for good their parents? I think it's no accidental choice of words that Jesus in this text uses this word orphan to illustrate what he is trying to tell to his disciples. They are in despair because they have given up their lives for his cause, and now he has just announced that he is leaving. Jesus understands their despair, understands and senses their sense of loss. And what's exciting about that is he understands my despair when it comes my way. And he will understand and sense your despair when it comes your way. And because one of his key attributes is that of compassion, Jesus promises to come to those who find themselves in despair through the avenue and power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so glad that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is that of comfort. The comforter who does come to those who are sensing despair and frustration in their lives. When despair augmented by our enemy attempts to overpower and take charge of our lives, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to lift us out of despair and replace it with the promised peace and presence of Jesus. Some quick points about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Number one, regardless how deep your despair is, regardless of whether you have turned to him or turned away from him, he will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Regardless how dark the day may seem, the Holy Spirit Comforter is always available to you as you welcome his presence. Point number two, Jesus said he is with you and will be with you, and the Holy Spirit will be with you and will be in you. And I would ask you this morning, have you sought and have you welcomed that infilling of the Spirit that we read about in Acts? Thirdly, he leads into all truth. You know, despair and depression provides fallow ground for the lies of the enemy. The enemy would have you live and continue to live and stay living in despair. He would have you believe that you are an orphan, that nobody really cares about you, that nobody loves you. Our enemy would have you believe that you are destined for a lifelong despair with no way out. He would have you believe that you will never find the peace that Jesus promises. But I'm here to tell you this. If you listen to the Holy Spirit, if you welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit into your life, he will comfort you and he will point you to the truth which will contradict the lies of the devil. Remember that promise that I read just a few moments ago from 2 John chapter 1, verse 3? Grace and mercy and peace, which we all need in times of despair, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. There is an ongoing presence. There's an ongoing power of Jesus, who are told in Revelation walks the aisles of the churches. We are told the Holy Spirit will never leave us or forsake us. We are not abandoned, and we are not orphans. We need not live in despair.
Amen.
When you live in the revealed truth of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' promise of grace, mercy, and peace will become reality in your life. It's Christmas time. Have you noticed that? It's gift-giving time, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of the great gifts of Jesus. Note carefully this amazing promise of Jesus from John 14, 27, as he wraps up this session with his disciples. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. That's what he promised to his disciples. And as 21st century disciples, we are entitled to that gift and that promise as well. And the peace that I give you is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Can I just risk adding a word? Don't be despaired. Notice carefully, the peace of mind and the peace of heart that Jesus promises is absolutely unique. It cannot be found anywhere else in the world. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow struggled with deep despair for 18 long years before finally that one Christmas day brought a glimmer of hope. Friends, if you're struggling with despair, and many are at this time of year, you don't have to wait for 18 years. I've got great news for you. Jesus still senses your despair, still senses your troubled heart, still promises peace of mind and peace of heart. Hear his promise and accept it by faith today. He offers you the same gifts, the same peace of mind. Welcome his Holy Spirit. Open your hearts to receive his presence and peace, and may you have a more blessed and more peaceful Christmas than you've ever had before. Let's pray. Lord, in the quietness of this moment, may your Holy Spirit challenge us to think about where we are. May your Holy Spirit challenge us to meditate just for a few seconds on your promises. Your word tells us your promises are yea and amen to them that believe. Lord, for those who may be struggling with some depression or despair today, Lord, I pray that your Spirit right now would connect with them. Perhaps they've never really sought or welcomed your Spirit to come and to infill them. I pray, Lord, that you would touch their spirit and create that longing today. And in response to that longing, Lord, I pray that you would come and fill with your Holy Spirit. And I pray that your Spirit would deliver the promise of Jesus that he would never leave or forsake. That he would always be there, day by day and hour by hour, whether the day was bright or the darkest of darkest nights. I pray that your peace, your unique peace, peace that passes all understanding, might be in the hearts of each and every one of us this Christmas season, that we might rejoice in your great gift to us, one of many, but this gift of peace so important and so critical. Bless your people with it today, I ask in Jesus' powerful name. And all God's people said, amen.